Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's a pleasure to be with you today, and we've got a wonderful show for you. Let me just shut down the music here, because you all can hum that if you've listened enough to what we do here. Okay, so hum it along if you want, but I'm going to introduce our guest and tell you what our show's about. We have a gentleman calling in all the way from Australia. That's Michael Fieldhouse, who's the social impact. You're going to love this show. The social impact practice leader at DXCine Technology. And he's got a focus on empowering people with autism to find work in IT and finance and engineering. We're going to have a long conversation with Michael. Thanks to the efforts of my friends over at Landmark College in Putney, Vermont. Okay, Jan Copeland, who's also with us, is their director of Landmark College's Office of Career Connections. And obviously, Career Connections, Michael looking for the right people, it works out, and he's joining us. I don't want to talk too long because he has to keep putting nickels into the Australian nickels. Into the payphones, and let me just say, we're over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Our magazine, Equity and Access, is online there. Everything we do is free to educators. It's all about equity at ace-ed.org. Let me bring on my two guests because he's starting to run out of nickels, Australian nickels. Okay, they have wombats, not buffaloes on them. Hello, Michael. I'm Larry. Good day, mate.
Hey. How are you doing, Laurie? Good day. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you, Michael. It's a long way from here. What time is it there, and what day is it?
It's we're a day ahead of yours, so it's Thursday today, and it's 7 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, so can you give us the news that we haven't heard yet? Because you're ahead of us.
No, I can't give you lottery numbers. Okay, you asked me for the lottery numbers. Can't give you the lottery numbers.
How the Sydney Swans doing? I mean, really, I can make some money on this. You're a day ahead of me here. It's like Back to the Future.
I know you could. Yeah, exactly right. We wish that one would. I think we would have been passing on tips to our American friends for a long while. Because there'd be quite a lot of billionaires there or millionaires there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you make them anyway because you're taking these kids who are terrific kids and you're giving them work. And that's thanks to the good work of Jan Copeland. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
I'm fine. We got it together. See that? A miracle. I'm thrilled.
Yes, me too. What a pleasure.
Yeah, great. It's wonderful to have you both here. I got to tell you, I want to start with Jan. I hope you got a big pile of Australian nickels for the payphone there, Michael. Let me just start with Jan, okay? Jan, talk about Landmark College, first of all. Just introduce people a little more than I did. And just talk about your job at the Office of Career Connections.
So the Office of Career Connections really is a resource for students to gain confidence about their skills. We support them in a very individualized way.
Good.
Our students, all have some sort of learning difference. And so very different from a lot of colleges, job search and job placement and even job retention is really, we need to cater it to their learning difference and help them to understand what their strengths are. So that's a large part of what we do through programming, through individualized appointments, but really focusing from a strengths perspective.
And I love the way you said that and put that in. These kids have a neurodiverse, if I'll call it a challenge, okay, to take their skills and make them work in the workplace with the challenge they have. And you, our folks at Landmark, are so successful in giving the confidence and the courage and the training to do just that, okay? And I love the way you said it. These are strengths, okay? And if we capitalize on strengths, I think Michael can talk about that, okay? And we can see this. The workplace is changing. There's room for everybody. Michael, tell us about DXC Technology. Give a little plug there.
DXC is one of the largest IT system integrators or services integrators, and we've been had a couple of generations, meaning that we were originally Hewlett Packard Enterprise Services and computer Science Corp that came together to make DXC probably about 3 or 4 years ago. We've got about a bit over 300,000 people that work across across the world, located in northern Virginia in Tyson's Corner.
So, okay, well, all that said, you're the social impact practice leader. Are you? You're in Australia today, right? Right, we talked about that.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay,
yeah,
good. So, talk about. All right, so it's a Virginia-based company, if I may. How did you in Australia? Okay, and again, I love your title, social impact practice leader. Start to work with Landmark College. How'd that come about? And I'll ask Michael, then I'll get Jan's version. How's that? Go ahead, Michael.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll see if it matches up. I mean, it's kind of started off in probably, we started a program called the Danline Program, probably started the essence of that in 2012. I had a couple of close friends that have autistic kids.
Mm-hmm.
It was purely by chance. One night I had a dinner party. At that stage, I was actually running a large amount of just a typical tech job, running a large amount of infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew came up to my I've got a big Japanese urn that's got pebbles in it, and he basically came to the urn and started dropping pebbles into the urn, apart from kind of me getting a bit annoyed that I would have to fish them out. He was only a young kid, so I think it was about 5 or 6. And I realized it was a bit too regular. So I, being my first degrees in science, I'm always a bit curious. So I timed him. So it was perfect intervals between every stone, and he did that over a good hour. There were lots of stones in the urn, but it was my epiphany on talent, where a person that Andrew has an intellectual disability and also is nonverbal, so somebody who actually would class to be almost totally disabled. And I don't like the word disabled, really had strengths and that was really my epiphany on we've been looking at a very deficit-based approach to talent rather than looking at a very much positive or strengths-based approach to talent. So that was kind of my epiphany on talent, and that started my journey personally in this space in 2012, which then basically required, you know, a bit of research. And that's that. This is how I eventually got to Landmark, looking for colleges and looking for any information around the globe that to help build our program, that we wanted evidence-based programs. We wanted people that have been doing things in this area. And Landmark College came up as a point of a source of information, and we started that collaboration.
Yeah, I have to say, that story is a fascinating story. Most people, okay, would admire that kid, although, like you said, he's got a lot of challenges, all right? But they would say, that's great. Look how well he did with this, and move on. But the fact that you were able to translate that into something so positive and long-lasting, and as a career point, that's really saying something. You're a very observant person, a very deep thinker, and I'm going to give you a PhD from the University of Larry. You're very good at this, Michael.
Thank you.
And just I'll send that. You're welcome.
That.
You're welcome, Dr. Fieldhouse. You can use that now. You have your PhD from the University of Larry. Okay, so you're now Dr. Fieldhouse. Congratulations. Okay, but I got to tell you, man, that is really something. Jan, when you hear a story like that, what's your reaction? Because you're placing these students all the time. What's your reaction to that? I'm just fascinated by that story.
Well, Larry, that's why I do what I do, is because of stories like that. It really that's not unheard of at Landmark, and I think that's a large part of why my staff is so dedicated and the faculty is so dedicated.
You hear too little of it. Outside of Landmark, Michael's epiphany Okay, it's, but that was just a beautiful story. I love the way you can see deeper than just was obviously was on the surface there. Okay? You know, I think it's great. Do you hear that all the time?
Not all the time, no. But I also think that some of the approaches that we take and the mindset that we have, that it's just viewing it in a different way. It's kind of changing
great.
The rules of the game a little bit, making it a level playing field.
Thank you very much for saying that. That's exactly right. And again, taking advantage of these students' strengths. I mean, these are good kids anyway, okay? But then to take advantage of the strengths they have, and we see this all the time, I think it's terrific, okay? I really and truly do. But, you know, Jan, I just want to ask you before I ask Michael somewhere. We're talking about high tech, and I don't know much about this. You know, I'm no expert in this type of education, but I know that, like, people who are autistic or maybe have ADHD are pretty focused. Okay, and they can really get this job done and done well. What is their success rate within? I'm going to ask you this, Jan, because you're going even beyond tech, high-tech jobs. What's the success rate out there? How are we doing on this for these kids?
So I need to ask this question. Success rate when they're not in a supported program or when they're in a supported program?
Either way or both. Either way, because you have to have the comparison. But when you guys provide such support, okay, and work with the organization, so do both. I love that.
Very high success rate. Our statistics, you know, the tracking, the data that we have is incredibly positive. The number of interns that we've placed, they're often offered full-time positions after just an initial internship. In other programs, in when they're not being seen for their strengths and they're not supervised appropriately, that's the sad part, is they get in and they have strengths, but they don't get an opportunity to demonstrate them or they can't even get the job. You know, Michael can speak to this too. They are incredibly skilled, but they can't get the interview. They can't get the job. They can't connect with the employers.
Right, right. It's the social aspect, right? Right there, I have to say. Who is monitoring it? When you say a structured program, is that structure? Are you talking about what Landmark is doing or what the employer is doing or both?
Both. So we have a structured program, and then we coach them to apply to jobs. And not all jobs that our students get have a structured program, because they sometimes will demonstrate, okay, they know what they need to do, they know how to self-advocate, and then they're successful. But the Autism at Work programs and Neurodiversity at Work programs in these corporations are, you know, their success rate is phenomenal, way beyond what they imagined when they started the program.
Yeah, I'm sure. And actually, talk to that, Michael. Okay, talk to the success rate. And I have to say something else. You know, you saw this. You obviously convinced your company this was a good way to go. Again, it's DXC technology. All right? But then there's more responsibility, not just hiring these kids and giving them a quick five-day training program. Okay? You know, like for everybody else. I mean, you actually got yourself very much involved with these potential and terrific employees. So what's your end of that responsibility over at DXC? Michael.
Yeah, we took a little bit of a different approach. So we looked at it, you probably guessed in my first background statement about being science and science-driven. We did a bit of research. So we did about a year's worth of research before starting a program. So we found the key part to most programs, that why they've failed or why individuals weren't been successful, were actually what we call the sustainment part of the program, keeping them in jobs and actually allowing them to self-actualize in jobs. And also, think about from an employer's perspective, getting that return on the individual as they've been there for a period of time. Obviously, they get to know the business, get to know the systems. They start to grow as well with tech tools, with their own skills. So one of the things we started then doing is looking at building a program. I mean, when we started in 2012, we had no idea about how to build a program. This is where we reached out globally across, across the shore, from Australia being on an island to, all places around the world. So we built an evidence-based program, which we then was underpinned by research. So we've been running the program for almost nearly probably seven plus years. And what we found, the most important part is the sustainment part of the program. Because that really is, you really are changing, mindsets of managers and co-workers and in upskilling them. So it's not just about the individual, but also it's another about the individual. You're giving them the necessary skills to actually grow and develop and build self-advocacy, build self-confidence, and also have the necessary skills to ensure that they have not just a job but have a career. And I think this is important that, there's multiple transition points, as we know, in our lifetime, and managing those transition points are critical. And I think I was reading some article a year ago, and it was saying that most graduates now graduating would go through 21 different jobs. For Gen X or Gen Y, they were 7 to 8, so to give you perspective of, how the economy is now changing.
Yeah.
So we built a program based on that. We've open sourced it. So we've had over 600 plus organizations download it. We've had amazing I'll give you some stats. We have got a 92% retention rate in the program.
I just wrote down the words employee retention ? Thank you for answering that. 92%?
So 92%. And what that's driven by is actually, again, by the individual and the environment, a retention rate. We've seen, if you talk about from a productivity perspective, between 20 to 40% increased productivity. And that's not just from the individual, but also the teams actually working better as teams, being more empathetic, being more candid. There is some great data around that. It's been fantastic. We've also seen managers, the actual in team environment or employee engagement also increase as well, significantly. So, everyone's engaged because, the organisation actually represents more community, and also that, that bit of diversity is also important in kind of bringing new ideas to the table and new ways of doing things, which also is stirring in the engagement within the actual, in the organisation.
And, I must ask, and your company, again, DXC, is a global company, okay? And I'm assuming all over Asia and Europe, et cetera, Africa. Am I correct on that?
That's
everywhere?
Correct. Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, so your big global corporation, DXC, how many employees do you have?
About 300,000.
That's a lot of paychecks to sign every week, okay? I'm curious, Landmark is an exceptional college here in the States, although some other colleges can claim that they have a program. Nobody quite does it, okay? The generic college here, tries, but Landmark really knows how to do it is my point, all right? They're not all over the world. All right, and as you see people with these neurodiverse concerns from, I'll say, Chile or Brazil or Africa or wherever the case may be, does your program work for all of those? Okay, because, again, they've been trained differently. They don't have not every kid like this who's talented has a program to go through like Landmark's. What are you finding worldwide? That was a long way to ask that question. Michael.
Yeah, it's very patchy. I mean, you've got some countries that don't do any diagnosis of autism or neurodiversity. So I think that's kind of it's particularly Asia. I think where probably the Western countries are a lot more mature in the really in starting to go down this process of neurodiversity, mm-hmm. Understanding some of the medical issues associated, and also mm-hmm. some of the social issues as well. And I think what we've done is we've open sourced our program to ensure that people can download our program and to, you know, they have assets to, so other companies and also other, you know, organizations can actually mm-hmm. go ahead and build their own program. So we're trying to give up more of a, you know, here, you know, what from our learning here it is, and hopefully, you know, people are developing the 2.0 of the program. But also, I think it's important that every time we bump into somebody, we refer them to Landmark, and we, you know, to say, well, we have a chat with them as well. To just, even just as educators, I think it's important that, you know, they're kind of fostering or helping with, you know, really seeding the ground, and obviously, you know, really, really making sure that the, you know, we've got good fertile ground, and we, and that developmental stuff is occurring early. So I think that it's got a long way to go.
There is a long way to go worldwide, and there's a long way to go here in the U.S. But I hope that the educators listening today, on the K-12 educators, understand the value of knowing about a place like Landmark for their students who need a place like Landmark, because the purpose of college, A, is to make us maybe better thinkers, but it's also to prepare us for the workplace. Okay, that is the goal, however the workplace shakes out. It's to prepare you for success in your life, and that's how this whole thing comes together. Jan, what happens when a company like DXC approaches you? What do you do? Do you go into a training mode, okay, with them? What's the process from your end with the company?
With a company as large as DXC, we, at least in my experience, that they've already brought on the training element. They're mm-hmm. just looking, like Michael said, to, you know, what are some of the places where talents can be sourced and things like that. So
it
depends on the smaller companies. Yes, we provide trainings. The large corporations, they're connected with entities that provide the training. But then the next step is really just, you know, we structure our partnership, and we say, okay, here's some of the goals of our partnership. This is what we want to do. This is how we're going to share talent. I mean, I meet with every month. I connect with one of Michael's colleagues around, you know, what are our programs doing? What are our needs?
Mm-hmm.
What's cutting edge technology? Or we belong to the Neurodiversity Hub. So we're an active participant in that. So sharing ideas and just continuing to improve our practices and our strategies.
It's so important. And, Jan, I have to ask, you know, K-12 educators, that's who we deal with here on our show and in our work all the time, okay? Do they understand, I don't know if you can answer this, the value, and I'll go back to what I said before, we have to train people to be successful in life, in the workplace. We want them to go, everybody wants a career, okay? Your office is the Office of Career Connections. In your opinion, do the K-12 counselors, I'll say particularly in the upper grades, understand the value of a program like yours? Do they get it? Because, man, what you're doing is so incredible.
I think it depends on the school. I think more and more that they do see the value, and
they
the different coaches that we work. But I think there's others that are still not aware of a strength-based approach. You know, that they see a learning difference as this is a challenge. How do I handle this in the classroom?
Mm-hmm.
So there's still some work to be done in that regard. But I think overall, I think within the last several years, there's been a positive shift towards, you know, equipping the individuals with the skills they need and the resources.
Exactly. When you folks at Landmark give these kids the confidence to move forward, it makes all the difference in the world, and that's going to help, okay, the workplace as well. Now for the $64,000 question. Okay, Michael, you were talking about, you know, working and engaging with your coworkers, all right, and the manager's role, et cetera, et cetera. But now we've got COVID-19. All right, and I don't know exactly what's going on in Australia. I know New Zealand's doing okay, Okay, but here in the U.S., where pretty much everybody's working at home, pretty much. Okay, I'll ask that. What's the situation in Australia, and how is that affecting, in, if I may, these particular group of employees?
Yeah, I mean, COVID-19 last year was really probably a big challenge. Most people work from home. Even still today, a lot of us, we're still working remotely. So I think we still have the same kind of challenges. Obviously a smaller population. Australia's only got 25 million people on a very large mass of land, which is the size of the U.S. is Australia.
It's the population of California on land the size of the United States. I've been there. It's just a great place. And there's so much room.
Yeah.
Please continue. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, so much room. I think that's what we're blessed by, room. And most people around Australia live on, you know, around the coast, because as you get further into Australia, it's actually quite arid.
That's correct.
But yeah,
very dry.
Very dry. And one of the things unfortunately, last year, apart from COVID, everyone saw our bushfires. Which is, you know, we're out of control. And to give you an idea, there was estimated that over a billion wildlife was actually, unfortunately, passed away through those fires.
Oh, it was horrible. Yes, it was a disaster, an environmental disaster almost beyond words, I have to say that.
Yeah, exactly. And so what I think for us is initially was a bit of a challenge to get people. A lot of individuals in our program like working in the actual office because they get the social interaction, meeting with their colleagues, not like anyone else. I mean, I think that was a very big surprise for us. They really like that connection, you know, and some of them is quite interesting through the program. They organized, which was very, very surprised me, was they've got their own social group. They organise Friday night drinks, pizzas. Yeah. So that you see people grow, and this is, I think, part of the idea about being a. When you have people have careers and that you start seeing them grow, you know you have them quite interestingly doing things that, like we all do, you know. With COVID-19 is. COVID-19 has been obviously a challenge. People working remotely, keeping people connected. So we've had to create different ways of keeping people connected. It might be a virtual coffee, catching up with people more regularly to see how they are. But then, you know, some of the more practicalities was really having a separation between, home life and work. And obviously, for most people who cope with dealing with COVID-19, working from home, that's going to be a challenge anyway. So that was, sure that people were sleeping, you know, weren't working all the time. We're making sure that there were very well-defined hours with work. So they either started at a particular time and finished at a time, and defining that is there is no more work that goes on. So it's actually trying to give people... our team a sense of not being overworked, and that's good for their own health. And then the other one was really ensuring that, really that they started having other routines like exercise and getting out of the house. And I think being locked up in your house, we had in Melbourne where I lived, we had the longest, a long lockdown, longer than Wuhan. So we were 111 days locked in our houses. So that created a whole bunch of other issues, which we're still dealing with, which is, especially a lot of the people in our program are probably under 30, not connecting with each other. And so we've been very much focused on getting that social connection with them, which has been important.
Well, well said, my friend, and tough times, I got to tell you. Jan, from your point of view at the college, as you place kids and move them forward in a career, how's COVID impacted that? And we know the generic, you know what I mean? So we know how everybody's stuck at home and all that, but it literally you, okay, what's going on? Not you personally, but you in your office, what's going on? How has it affected you?
What's been optimistic and what we didn't expect is we are able to connect students to a lot more opportunities because they're virtual. So there's a couple supported internship programs that we work with. So they're able to access them because they don't have to physically show up and be. Because some of our students aren't ready to be independent and live in the city on their own yet. Being able to participate in a virtual internship has been good. However, we know because of our student population, really the best thing for them is the in-person. So that's, you know, we are looking forward to them being able to get back to opportunities that are in-person because they need that connection. They need to be away from a screen for a while.
Don't we all? But I agree with you, yeah. Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. We all have to be away from the screen. But it's amazing how it changed. You made me smile a few minutes ago. You know this pandemic is terrible worldwide. I mean, it's just horrible. I don't have to get into the details of that. But somehow or other, there's a few good things popping out of it. Okay, forcing us to do things. Okay, and it seems to me from what you said that there's a little more opportunity for your students at Landmark. Am I reading that correctly?
Yes, that's the piece that we did not expect. They're accessing things that they wouldn't have accessed.
It's just wild, I have to tell you. So are the kids doing all right with all this from what you see? And again, the socialization factor. But from what you see, Jan, how are they all doing? Just generically.
You know, we've been very fortunate that a majority of our students in the fall semester, and actually we're in the process right now of bringing our spring semester students back, we've been able to be in person. So we have a small cohort that's been online, but Landmark has been able to support in-person instruction. You know, with all sorts of logistics attached to it and a pretty tireless faculty, but I think given our students' diagnosis, that's, and also our size, we're not a huge college, so we had the luxury to be able to separate classes and the residence life has been able
to
adjust.
On a beautiful campus, small school.
And Michael has actually seen our campus. Yes, it is a beautiful campus.
I have been there as well, and I was going to ask that question. Michael, you have made it to Putney, obviously.
Yes, I have. I have made it very beautiful. I had a nice drive through there. That was actually quite nice. I enjoyed driving through. It was gorgeous.
Did you drive from Australia? Because really, you should have flown.
No, I didn't drive from Australia, but I got some great directions from Dan, so I followed the directions. Had to make sure it was on the right side of the road.
Refused to drive in Australia or England because I know I'd kill everybody on the roads if I did that. Okay,
yeah.
So, and I, actually, Aussies and Brits have an easier time coming here than I do over there. When you were there, did you have any of the fried chicken? Mark DiPietro right now is laughing. Did you have any fried chicken when you had lunch there? You should have. It's really good. It's really good.
Chicken. But I did have to make sure. The thing that always gets me is the turning right on a red light. That always gets me. Something I always have to remember, turn right on a red light.
I feel your pain. I feel your pain, okay? That's why I love when I go to England. There's a sign right at every crosswalk, look this way, because the traffic's coming from the other direction. It's just incredible. You're a lucky man, my friend. You've done great with these students, great for your company, and you live in a beautiful place, a city, by the way, to which I have been. And which is just absolutely just beautiful. That's all I can tell you. People who haven't been to Melbourne, okay. And Jan, you just keep doing some beautiful work, okay.
Thank you, Larry.
It's really something, okay. And you two have put together a lovely program, and you can put your heads on the pillow and sleep well at night because of the good job you're doing for a lot of people who really need people like you to show them the way to success. So I congratulate you both. Michael, thank you for calling in from such a long way away.
No,
I appreciate
thank you very
it.
Much, Larry.
Okay, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right, and Jan, we'll talk again soon, okay? Thank you both.
Okay, thank you, Larry.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. DXC Technology, that was Michael Fieldhouse, their social impact practice leader. What a good guy. And Jan Copeland, who is the director of Landmark College's Office of Career Connections. And I'm telling you, this is important because for students with neurodiverse needs, you need to get them to a place that will train them to have confidence and success. And this is the focus of what Landmark does. And that's all I can say. Check it out for the good of your students. And just a good show. Thank you both so very much. All right, we'll archive over at ACE-ED.org. That's the home of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. Our new issue of Equity and Access should be out probably today or tomorrow right on site over there, ace-ed.org. Everything we do is free for educators, so join with us for Equity. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thank you.